Put your hands together for Pastor Benny, please.
Amen. I apologize for taking so long to get from way back there all the way over here. I was playing basketball with some youngsters, and my knees didn't agree with me. And this morning, one of them fell into agreement. The other one's still not agreeing. Amen. So, pray for my knees. Amen. But I want to thank God, first of all, for where I'm at. Amen. For the journey. And it's like I told Pastor Marty, there's so much. Like, you know, when I start reading, I'm stuck for hours researching. And I don't know if you guys, that happens to you guys, but when you start somewhere, you end up somewhere. And then you follow that rabbit trail and you end up somewhere else. And then you forgot why you even started reading. Because then you're just filled with so much godly wisdom, godly knowledge, that it's like, it's amazing. And I was sharing with Pastor Marty, there's so much to speak about encounters. It's amazing, you know. But I want to thank God also for allowing me, for thank Pastor Marty and Pastor Inez for allowing me to speak, you know, to be able to share the pulpit, you know. They've been such a blessing. Such a blessing. Look, and I don't want to start going completely nowhere else, but man, y'all, there's some good pastors. Look, we've been in other ministries, man, and we've seen some pastors. Y'all, man, we got some good pastors. Amen. And I know it sounds so cliche, right? Like, love your pastor, right? You hear it. Oh, you're, but man, they're awesome pastors. Amen. Love them. So thank you. Thank you. This morning, let's stand. Amen. Just stand in reverence. Amen. And we're going to open up with prayer, and I'm going to open up with the scripture, and we can have our seats. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, first and foremost, my God, for your presence, that you use me solely as a mouthpiece, my God, to share your word. My God, just a bullhorn, just a microphone, my God. And I pray that you get all honor and you get all glory, Father God, in this morning's message. I pray for open minds, open hearts, my God. And even as of now, even during the praise and worship, as I saw you, Father God, cultivating the ground, I pray, Father God, that you allow the roots to go deep, my God. That your anointing begin to flow. My God, that your words, Father God, just be spoken, Father God, not only with authority, my God, but with grace. I pray for our minds, my God, to reveal, Father God, your word. I pray for your anointing, for your spirit, my God. And I thank you for everything you're about to do this morning and what you have already done. In the mighty name of Jesus. And his people of God, say, amen. Amen. I'm going to, let's turn our Bibles real quick before we have our seats to Genesis 28. Amen. And you know, when I was asked to speak about encounters, there's so many. And I as I was going down the rabbit trail, amen, I ran into the first encounter with Jacob, amen. And I'll go ahead and start reading here in verse 10, Genesis 28, verse 10. The word of God reads like this: Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he decided, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of those stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and I, God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth and will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Verse 15, I am the Lord, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then, verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if the Lord will be with me and watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will give you a tenth. You may be seated. Amen. Now, again, when to speak about encounters, there's a wealth of encounters. You know? But one thing, like, okay, so an encounter, when I looked up the word encounter, the origin of the word was en, which is in, right? And then in the Latin root, counter means contra, which means against, right? Now follow me, I'm laying out the foundation. So when somebody says encounter, the origin of the word was always something that was against. But very rare do you hear of good encounters, right? We never hear of good encounters because the origin of the word was never meant to be that. Contra is something that's against. En contra. Amen? Now, encounter, somewhere along the line, the encounter started to turn into the definition of an event or something. Let me read it. Amen. Because I'm trying to go off of this and so the Latin origin contra, in, right? And then in the old French it turned into contre. And in Latin that means you found. So contra, against, to contra, to I found. That was the origin of encounter. Amen? Now, isn't it amazing sometimes, I believe, like when you lose something, right? You stop looking for it. As a matter of fact, you go and buy something else to replace what you lost, but then you end up finding it anyway because you weren't looking for it. Amen? So that is an unexpected event. That is an encounter. Making sense? So as God was showing me this, it's funny because in the encounters that I personally have had with God, I wasn't looking for him. And I shared it before with some. I remember, specifically remember being at the bar. Right? Beer in my hand. Could not get drunk. Am I being real this morning? Right? God is not just... Man, God is not going to leave you alone. To assume that you need to be here for God to speak to you? No. To assume that you got to be at a certain level for God to speak to you. No. I remember God spoke to me right there at the bar store and he said, is this really what you want? All of a sudden, that beer tasted nasty. It wasn't refreshing no more. It wasn't, the bottle wasn't sweating no more. I was. Amen. But see, at that time, I was not looking for God. As a matter of fact, I ran. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I was running. And it's funny. When God comes against you, contra, contré, now he's going to find you when you least expect it. You don't have to be looking for him, but you will find him. Amen? Are you blessed this morning? So to have an encounter with God, I think it's funny that as Jacob, see, just to give you a little history on what was going on, Jacob was running from his brother Esau at the time. And we can go back, you know, you can go back in your own time to the chapters before how he lied, right? He tricked his father into getting the blessing. So Esau said, I'm going to kill you, right? So Jacob took off running. He was running from his brother Esau. His mother Rebecca told him, go to your uncle. Go live there. Right? And then once the smoke clears, right? We've heard that term. Once the smoke clears, then I'll call back for you. So Jacob was like, all right, cool, mom. I'll take off. He left. It's amazing. Again, just to confirm, it's amazing that even when you run, oh, man. I can attest to the fact that God is not going to leave you alone. Man. I was a backslider for 2 years. Not one time say, go ahead, mijo, do what you got to do. Nah. He did not leave me alone. Contra. And when after the contra, contré. Amen? So, there was a lot of encounters that Jacob had. A lot of them, even after. But the three that I want to focus on were the first three encounters that he had. Now, from when Jacob left his father's house till he came back to his father's house, he had specifically six encounters. Six of them. And I really don't have time because Pastor Marty only gave me 5 hours to preach. I'm just kidding. He gave me three. But I really cannot go to each encounter. And as a matter of fact, when we were talking this morning, I told him, man, this will be a good series because each encounter within itself, there's something. But I can only give us three this morning. Amen? Now, the first encounter was obviously the first one that, many of us may know it as Jacob's ladder. Amen? The second and third encounter was actually when God told Jacob to go back home. And the third encounter was he reaffirmed to go back home, but he also showed him why he got financially blessed when he left his uncle's house to go back home. Now, this is one thing that we got to consider because we assume, oh, encounter after encounter, right? The first encounter that Jacob had was when he left. The second encounter that he had was 20 years later. 20 years later. He worked for his uncle for the first 7 years for his daughter, well, who he thought was Rachel. But he ended up getting the oldest daughter, which is Leah. That's another message. All by itself. So he goes to his uncle and says, hey, man, I wasn't supposed to marry this one. I was supposed to marry that one. Right? And his uncle says, okay, well, work for me another 7 years because it's not tradition for you to marry the youngest. You got to marry the oldest first. So he says, okay, well, then I'll work another 7 years. After the 7 years, he married Rachel. So, okay, his goal was to marry Rachel in the first place. Now he says, okay, well, I'm going to take off. And his uncle, Laman, says, okay, well, just stick around for a couple more years because I see how God is blessing this house because you are here. Stick around a couple more years. He says, okay, but now I'm going to charge you. Now my wages are going to be such and such. And Laman says, okay, my wages are, I'll pay you like this. Every flock that is striped, speckled, or spotted. Every flock that is striped, speckled, or spotted is yours. After the conversation, Laman went to the flock and took all the goats or all the flock that was spotted, speckled, and striped. What started happening, all the flock started having spotted, speckled, and striped. Now I'm going somewhere. I'm laying the foundation. Can't have a house so you have the concrete, right? So after that, he stuck around for another 6 more years. So you have 7, now you have 6. Amen? That's 20 years. After those 20 years, God's the second encounter with Jacob was, okay, now go back. Now, can you imagine how Jacob felt at the time? Lord, you said. Let's just say 5 years. Wouldn't you question God at 5 years? Let's just be honest. How about 10? 1 year. Lord, you said. You said you were going to be with me and that I was going to go back to my father's house. Man, it's already 14 years. I already got Leah and I already got Rachel. What's going on? Amen? Have you been waiting on God for a while already? Amen? Lord, you said, and I'm still here? Lord, you said. 20 years till his second encounter. Amen? Now, getting back to the first encounter. If you notice at the end of that scripture, he said that the stone that he had under his head, he laid it as a pillar. Right? Now, in every encounter that we have with God, there has to be a reminder. Now, remember, there's a difference between a reminder and a remember. Okay? You can't remember anything until something reminds you. Amen? Because when you remember, that's something that you do. When something reminds you, that's something that somebody else or something else does. Amen? So there's a difference. And if you're smart, like me, you remind yourself. I'm just kidding. I love my wife because she's like, remember this, remember that. She's my reminder. Like, remember you said this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, honey. Thank you. You know, she's, man, I love my wife. I do, man. She's the one that really, she completes me. Amen? But, she... Sometimes I get scatterbrained. You ever seen a painting when somebody just throws a big pail of paint? That's the way my brain is sometimes. You just look at the picture, it's like, what is it? It's everywhere. That's the way my mind is sometimes. It's just everywhere. And I thank God for my wife because she like, yeah, but remember this. So she's like a reminder. Again, a reminder is something that something outside of you does. Or you can do it to yourself. You remind yourself. But you can't remember anything until you're reminded. Amen? That's the whole point. That's the whole point of a reminder. Amen. So it's just funny to me that Jacob had to put that stone there as a reminder of his encounter. And if you go through the other six visions, like I said, I don't have time for it, but each one, he reminded himself, I'm going to do this to remind me, right? Even in the fourth encounter that he wrestled with God, right? That famous portion of scripture where he wrestled with God. What was his reminder? His hip. The Bible says that he walked with a limp. Amen? That's his reminder. So for every encounter, there is going to be a reminder. Because in 20 years, you'll forget what God called you to do. Right? Opposition comes. People talk about you. It's not going to happen. You're crazy. You don't know what you're doing. You're too young. All that makes you forget. You got to remind yourself. Remind yourself. Why did I even get in all this for? You know what my, and like I said earlier, you know what my reminder was when God said, is this really all you want? Is this it? Same people, same music, same faces, same beers. Oh, come on. Or y'all never, oh, y'all tried every single one out there. No, you find one and you stick to it. Amen? Is this on? Amen? Hey, sometimes you just got to be real. That's my constant reminder. When I'm like, Lord, man, I'm done. I can't. And God says, remember? Is that what you want? Is it really what you want? That misery? Or are we all happy? Amen. God knows our patience. God knows how long we need to be in that fire. He knows. He knows, man, he knows. And for a long time, me and my wife were like, man, Lord, what is it? And I said, you know what? We just got to start praying for revelation. We do. Because revelation is this. I've mentioned it before. Revelation is something that's already there. It's not nothing that's given to you. It's something that's there, but it's covered. It's something covering it. What we need is revelation for God to remove that blanket or whatever it is so you can see what's right there. That's revelation. Something that's there. It's in us. It's in you. That encounter, it's in there. We just got to reveal it. We got to find it in there. There's a reason why we first started coming to church. There's a reason. There's a reason why we said, God, help me. Get me out of this one. Right? Or do we all just come to church like, hey, you know, hey, I think I'm going to try it today. Right? No. We never said that. Like, Lord, look, if, right? All right? We always said that. If, Lord, if you get me out of this one, man, for sure. For sure, Lord. Every Sunday. Right? Right? It's like, I remember those times that I used to go to court. Right? Oh, come on. Come on. Am I being real this morning? Lord, this time for sure, I'll never do it again. I think I just put my business out there, you know. For sure, Lord, for sure. I promise this time for real, Lord. For the reals. That's why God knows exactly how long we need to be in that fire. You don't think God had heard those promises before? I tell you what, man. You heard a lot of them from me. Lord, for sure. No, this time, like, for real. I'll do whatever, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not even going to go there. Amen? Point number two. For point number one is there has to be a reminder. Number two, there needs to be more than one encounter. There needs to be more than one encounter. We cannot go on yesterday's miracle. We cannot go our whole Christian lives with yesterday's testimony, with yesterday's anointing, with yesterday's grace, with yesterday's faith. There has to be encounter after encounter after encounter with God. Jacob, he experienced more encounters when God told him to go back 20 years later than he did in the first 20 years. Because God had to teach him something. God knew he had to go through all that. When he said, okay, now you're ready, go back home. Then it was encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter. Six of them. And that's just the first six when he got home. There was encounters after that. But there has to be more than one encounter. There has to be. We cannot live every day of our Christian walk. Remember when? Remember when? Now, don't get me wrong. That's a reminder, but that's you cannot go on that encounter solely. There has to be more. What has God done lately? What has God told you lately? What has he spoken into your life lately? What has he done? And it doesn't have to be something major, but it could just be like the Lord said. Encounter after encounter. Right? And look, we know those people. We've seen them. You've seen them at your workplace. Right? The guy, the 50, 60-year-old that still wears a Letterman jacket because he scored a touchdown back in. Amen? That was the only highlight probably of his whole life. And it's like, man, I scored a touchdown. Bro, you're 62. Am I being real? And if you scored any touchdowns and you're 62 today, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, you cannot go on that one event your whole life. You might get some emails, Pastor. I'm just telling you now. You might get some emails. But we cannot. There has to be, what has God done lately? What has God taken you out of lately? Amen? What encounter has happened since we came to church? See, when we come to church, we get saved. That's our first encounter. God reaches to where we're at. He pulls you out. Right? But then what? It's like, and I told some people, it's like a timeline, right? Y'all remember the timelines like in, you know, I don't know, fifth grade, sixth grade? Maybe we started learning about timelines where you have the negative going that way, then you have the positive going this way, right? And then you have the zero in the middle, right? Some of us were negative five. Some of us were negative 20. Some of us were negative 555. I don't know, right? We get saved and God puts us at zero and we think we made it. Amen. We're saved. I'm in church now. No, you're starting at zero. Now what? What's going to get you that way? Amen. Encounter after encounter. Lord, what else? Lord, you said back here at 555, you said Okay, now I'm right here. Okay, where do I go? Because you said back over there, you said that I would be here. But now where am I going? Amen? Salvation is not the end. You haven't arrived. Hey, I'm saved. Right? No. Now what? Look, man, it's hard because it's like, where to go? Where, God, where? You said go, but where? Amen? It's like I think I told my wife, it's like, I keep hearing jump and go and go. And I'm like, where, Lord, where? It's like a big pool, right? You're in a big pool and you're on a diving board and God's saying, dive. Amen? Now, look, I'm putting myself out there, but that's between me and God. Amen? But what now? How are you going to get on the positive? Where do we go from here? Because we can go and spin our wheels every year of our Christian walk with that first encounter. And nothing happens after that. Is God speaking to somebody this morning? We can't go off of yesterday's faith. I heard this preacher say one time, God said that he is, I am. I am, not I was, and not I'm going to be, I am. So when God tells you that every day, he's now. He's now. We can't go on yesterday's anointing. That was for yesterday. We can't go on yesterday's manna. Pastor, this house of manna was not what it was when it started. And it's not going to be what it is now. It's not. Just in the time that we've been here, there's growth. There's growth. We don't see it just like we don't see a plant grow. But the roots are getting deeper. The roots are getting deeper. With no roots, there's no plant. Hallelujah. I don't know who that was for, but from the first encounter, Jacob heard God. If we go to his sixth encounter before he actually arrived back at his father's house, the Bible says that he saw God. How many know there's a difference between hearing God and seeing God? Because we go all our lives hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. But if you never see God move, God has a way of reaching all your senses. Not for our sake. Right, look, we got to understand God doesn't do things to prove a point to us. God does it because he said he would. Right? And what was going on is that Jacob had negotiations and God had, let me say this, God had a covenant, Jacob had a contract. See, a covenant is, I'm promising you this, regardless of what happens, I'm promising you this. A covenant is, if you do this for me, I do this for you. We have a contract. If one of us breaks this contract, deal's over. Amen? That's the difference between a covenant and a contract. So Jacob had a contract. What did he say? He says, if God does this for me, and if he brings me back to his father, how then he will be my God. Right? But what did God say? I will give you. I will be with you. Amen? Do we got to go back and read it? Amen. Let's go back and read it. Genesis 28. Let me start in verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone and had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar. Let me jump to verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God." Then the Lord will be my God. Then the Lord will be my God. And what did God say? "I'm going to do this." And Jacob said, "Well, if you're going to do this, then he will be my God." God doesn't have to prove a point to any one of us. God is not going to fulfill what he has called to do in your life for your sake so you can believe in him. God already is. Whether we believe in him or not, God is. He does it because he said he was going to do it. Does it make sense? He said he was. He said he was. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Amen. That's why I told you it's a lot. It's a lot. Amen. The next thing is that we have to expect the next encounter. And that was all God when Pastor Marty was upstairs. You got to expect it. You got to expect it. You have to expect it. Like, Lord, you said, but what now? Where? Listen. We have to be able to listen. Expect. Every service in this place, every Sunday, we have to expect. We have to expect. Is it today? It's like, is it today? Right? Okay, that didn't help. Is it today? No. Every day, Lord. Is it today? Lord. It's like, you know, it's like your kids, right? When they ask you for something. Oh, man, they don't leave you alone. They don't let you forget what you said. Amen? You said, you said. I didn't say, Mom. I didn't say, Dad. You said. Right? And every day it's like, it's funny, man, my son Ezekiel, every day, like, Dad, remember? Right? Here's my reminder, too. Dad, remember? And I'm like, all right, so I told Sally, like, we have to. Now we have to. Right? Because, first of all, he's not going to leave us alone. Right? And sometimes we have to, like, God, is it today? Hey, Lord, is it today? How about today? And God is like, God will either say yes, no, or wait. That's it. Don't get mad when he says no. Don't get mad when he says wait either. Amen. But God will say yes, no, or wait. But every day we got to expect, Lord, is it today? Is it today? And God, you'll know. Amen. What's hard is when we face the opposition. Amen. And this is where I want to park a little bit, because opposition is rough, man. It's rough. Amen. Opposition keeps us from expecting. And because we don't expect, it keeps us from our next encounter. 20 years Jacob spent in opposition. 20 years. And the last 6 was probably the worst. Let's turn our Bibles real quick to Genesis. Chapter 31. And I'll go ahead and read it in starting in verse 1. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father." And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of this is the second encounter. Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." Verse 4, "So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out of the fields where his flocks were. And he said to them, 'I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to the speckled young. And if he said the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me." Now, we got to keep in mind that it was 20 years that he went through this. The last 6 years he went through this. Okay. Have you ever been cheated on your check before? Wait a minute. And you even calculated before you even got your check, right? And I'm at 0.08 on taxes, and you know, and I did about 10 hours overtime, and you're like, right? Doing all the math, right? And you end up short. What if the company said, "Oh, well, sorry. Oh, that ain't happening." Amen? That is not going to happen. You give me my $2. Oh, come on. Come on. People of God. Amen? You give me my $2. That was an extra half a gallon of gas. 3/4 of a gallon. Whatever it is. Amen? It's hard to keep producing in the midst of opposition. It's hard. To be expected to produce in the same manner after you've been cheated, your wages have been cheated 10 times. And to be expected to still produce. And then not only that, to have the favor of God fall upon that house because you're there. Oh, man. Can you imagine what Jacob went through? Your father's attitude towards me has not been the same since I got here. Right? As a matter of fact, he's cheated my wages 10 times. It doesn't say, if we go back to scripture, it doesn't say Jacob changed his attitude or changed the way he was doing things or nothing. To be expected to still produce even in the midst of opposition. Look, I'm going to be real. I don't know if I would have. Pastor Benny, como que no? No, yeah. Amen? But you're a pastor. Yeah, but those are my wages. Amen? Now, I know some of you guys may be a lot more holier than me, maybe, but it's hard to produce, to still do what God has called you to do. Even though the midst of opposition, man, people just coming against you and people burning you and hurting you. And it's like, man, God says, keep producing, Lord. Oh, Lord. Produce. Lord, man, it's not fair. The injustice, produce. produce. Because in the third encounter with Jacob, God showed him that it was him that made the flock. God made the flock have all the speckled and have all the striped. It doesn't say only the sheep or only the flock that was speckled and striped and spotted produced that. He said that all the flocks produced his wages. What was his reminder in that vision? His wages. Because when he was going back home, guess what he took with him? All the speckled, all the striped, all the spotted. God will make it happen. It's hard, right? In the midst of opposition, it's like, Lord, man, what are you doing? Produce. Produce. I will bring it. You stay doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep producing. You keep doing this. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Right? What's that? What's that song? The watch me, watch me, watch me. Where are the youth at? Watch me, watch me. What's that song? I don't know what it's called. I know they dance. Every quinceañera that I've gone to, they do that song. The Nene. There it is. The Nene. Watch me, right? Anyway. I don't know who that was for. Produce. Produce. In the midst of opposition, it's produce. Produce. 6 years. Can you imagine the first time Jacob was probably cheated on his wages? He could have said, breach of contract. That's it. Done. Second time, fifth, seventh time. Because once again, God knows how long we have to be in that fire. He knows how long. It's hard to, man, how do you say that to somebody, right? Oh, God, it's for a reason. It's hard to say that to somebody, right? It's hard to tell somebody, man, there's going to be opposition, but stick through it. No, I don't want to stick through it. You don't. But there's favor when you do. Amen? I think I might have to split this to another part. Amen? Let's stand. I find it interesting that Jacob was running from his consequences, from the lies that he began, the trickery that he did. He ran. He was running from his consequences. He was running from his lies. And that's when God got a hold of him. It wasn't when he was in his father's house. He was on the run. And I can honestly attest to that because I was on the run. Man, God got a hold of me. Encounters need to be more than just events. Encounters got to be more than just, you know, experiences. Encounters are life-changing. They have to be. They have to be. Because then an encounter is just going to be an event. An encounter is just going to be something, oh, yeah, it happened. It cannot be missed opportunities. We need to listen to God every single day. And you'll be surprised when God speaks to you. Man, I've heard God speak through me in movies sometimes. You know, my son, He's had dreams, right? And sometimes me and my wife are sitting down with him, talking to him. But man, God uses my son too, even to speak to me. And my attitude could be was like, son, really? You're 10 years old. I'm much of a mature Christian than you.
Right?
Son, you really, come on. Amen? But God, you will use whatever, whenever. There's no seniority with God. There's none. God doesn't say, oh, you've been 20 years, I'm going to use you more than I did this one. No. That's not the way God works. But we get caught up in that. I got to be at this level for God to speak to me. Then explain Gideon. I got to be the best one. Then explain David. But we get stuck on that. We assume that God can't speak to us because we're young. Right? Because for whatever reason, whatever the world tells you, whatever religion tells you, you assume that you can't. You can't hear from God. You're not at that level yet. And that's not the way God works. Youth, don't assume because you're young that God cannot speak to you. Don't assume that in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, breakups, whatever, God will use whatever situation to say, come on. Come on. But are we listening? Are we listening to his voice? Encounters cannot be I hopes. Encounters cannot be maybe one days. Encounters cannot be, bueno, pues si quiere Dios. No. Lord, you said, I'm waiting for my next one. Amen? This morning, as we go ahead and put some music on, amen. God's timing is now. What's delayed is our response. I'm learning this now. That's what delays is your response. Because we assume that we can't. Remember to produce even through opposition. God said he would. Lord, help me to remember why I even started coming. Help me remember why I even started this. Remind me again why. Because I can't see it. I can't find myself in it. I can't find myself in the opposition. I can't find myself in the hurt. Help me to remember why. Why am I here? Why did I even start coming to church? It's easy to forget in the midst of your anger, in the midst of your confusion. It's easy to forget. Produce. 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 Wait for your encounter. All you know is that you're supposed to produce. That's your first encounter. Salvation is not the end. Produce fruit. What now? Lord, put those people in my path. And if they've hurt me, Lord, help me to forgive them. Help me to see past it. Because I need my next encounter. It's not a matter of wants. I need it. I need to get to the place, to the area, to the place where you have said that I'm going to be. I need to get there. So remove whatever it is that needs to be removed. Help me to produce the fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you're blessed. Amen.
As you're standing there, I want you to just go ahead and reflect back on the last encounter that you had with God. Don't minimize what he's done or what he's spoken to you, but always be focused on what he said. Because the Bible says that the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God shall not return void unto him. It shall go forth, set out what it was sent to do, and it shall accomplish it. It didn't say at the time nor the way that you wanted it to be accomplished, but it would be accomplished. What I love about this particular scripture is that God is addressing Jacob in his schemes, the way he used to be. And you read in the scripture there where he said, the God of my father has caused the increase. See, he still wasn't looking at it as still his God. What I love about that is God's not predicated on doing things based on what you think of him. God is God regardless of what you think of him. And he will continue to do what he said before you were even created. It's how we begin to move towards closer to him, to have that understanding and to have that next encounter. Because the last encounter that you want to have is the one that where you begin to walk different. That's the encounter you really want to have, because that's a change that comes your way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is a change that has come your way. You may have laid down one way, but you've got up a different way. You may have entered one way, but you're leaving a different way. Something may have entered into your ear gates one way, but it's leaving a different way. Whatever curse that has come your way may have come in one way, but it's going to leave a different way. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has a way of using what has come at you or against you that has become your opposition to be the very thing that he's going to use to bless you on your transition out. Oh, hear this. You better hear this. What I love what Pastor Benny said is that he already got the two wives. And in the process of doing this opposition, the babies were being born that were accounted into this lineage of Jacob. These babies were born. He didn't just leave there with two wives. He left there with some seed. If you've ever wondered why you're going through all kinds of opposition in your life, it's because God is getting the seed that he's given into your spirit, man, to be birthed through the opposition to come forth. You can't, oh my God, hear this. You can't reproduce without the pain. You need the pain in your life to produce inside of you what needs to come forth from you. Oh, y'all better hear this. Are you ready for encounters? You can have them. He wants to have them. Oh, this is for someone in here right now. Someone has felt like Jacob was waiting and 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 waiting, and nothing changing. God is God. And he'll do what he said. But before he answers that one thing, he's going to increase in you his thing. So that when you come out of your opposition, you come out with some things that you didn't enter with. Are you hearing this? We need encounters. And we need encounters across churches all across America. We need encounters that people can stand and say, yes, there is evil in the world and there is trouble in the world, but my scripture says this, that fear not, for God has overcome the world. There is all kinds of things that are taking place in society, but I am not part of this government. I'm part of the government of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Walk knowing in your life that God is on your side. And I've said it over and over. Your God has to be different than your daddy's God and your mama's God. You make it personal. You make him personal. Amen. Whatever opposition, God's going to use to multiply you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every individual as we stand in your presence right now. Lord, I thank you that not only have you spoken to them about encounters, but what we once come against, we have now found. And Lord, I thank you that what we lean on is what we have found. It's a new relationship that has been revealed because it was once hidden under the opposition. So we thank you right now, Father, for revelation to illuminate in our mind and in our spirit what you have in store for us today. We thank you for it now. We give thanks unto you, not only for victory, deliverance, and healing, but we thank you for the encounter. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Amen.